Good evening again, everyone. I'm going to be reading a couple of passages. I'll turn to them in a moment, but I want to pray for God's word first. Father, in the name of Jesus, this evening, as we come to your living and active word, we pray, Father, that you would speak to us all. We ask, Lord God, that your word would do its work. Do its work in the lives of all who have gathered here in the hall tonight, and in the lives of those who are watching on Facebook, and those, Lord God, who are listening to the podcast. Be they here in Bangor, further across Northern Ireland, be they in Canada, Lord God, wherever they might be, we just pray, Lord, that your blessing would rest upon them. Lord, we thank you tonight again that as we move toward, Lord God, Christmas, and some of us say that, Lord, with our tongue sticking in our throat because it's become such a commercial thing, Lord God, and as often people say, they've taken Christ out of Christmas and call it Xmas, Lord, I would just ban the whole lot, Father, as you know, it was up to me, but you're God. And I just pray, Lord, that through all of this, Christ will be glorified. And that in Jesus, you, Lord God, will be exalted. Father, thank you for who you are. And thank you for the most beautiful demonstration of your love toward us in the giving of your Son, Jesus, to die that we might live. May your word triumph at this time of the year and throughout, Lord God, the year. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I hope you enjoyed that video because you're going to be watching it for the next 5 weeks. I had the misfortune this week, very, very sad misfortune to visit IKEA at Hollywood Exchange. I don't know if you've been to IKEA. What one hellhole that place is. Even with the arrows on the floor, say, follow the arrows and you will eventually get out. I actually thought, I think I've died and gone to hell. No, even when I followed the arrows, I couldn't get out. And then when I went to a member of staff and says, could you give me an idea how to get out of this place? It says there's maps everywhere. And I said, I can't read the map. I don't even know where I am. You know, if I go to it and it says, you are here. Yeah, I know where I am. I just don't know how to get out. And then not only that, I had promised one of my foster sons, he says to me, now will you definitely waken me at 11 o'clock? Will you definitely waken me at 11 o'clock? He was on late at night, and will you waken me at 11? I says, right, I will. And here I am in the middle of IKEA when the alarm goes off on my phone to waken him. So I'm lost in IKEA thinking, how do you get out of this place? When the alarm goes off, it says, waken him. So I thought, well, I'll just ring him. What happens? No service in IKEA. So I had to prance around all of IKEA to eventually find a way out, got all out of the place, and in fact, I'll tell you even better, as I went up to where the tills are, and there's a part that says cards only, or card holders, or something like that only, well, I just thought, well, there's my opportunity, because there was no one there, and I'll just dander through there, and go towards the door to make the phone call. Well, didn't it set off all the alarms? And this security man was starting to head over towards me, and I was sort of trying to get the phone to work, and then he realized I wasn't running off with anything. And then not only had I to do that, but then I had to go back through it all again to try to find where I originally was to get what it was that I needed to purchase. And then not only that, and then when I was driving home, I'm sure everybody in Bangor thought, oh, look at that poor wee disabled man. Because I had to buy this object that just fitted in the back of the car, so long as I pushed both seats, the driver's seat and the passenger seat, right tied up against the steering wheel, so I'm driving them to get home, and trying to make my feet move down to get the gears and all to work, and I was praying, coming all the lights, oh please don't change, because I was trying to make my foot hit the gears and all, and do, oh, it was awful, absolutely awful. But anyway, when I was at IKEA, I was really surprised to see Christmas trees were for sale outside. And I thought to myself, in the name of Nora, I mean, it's still only November and they're already selling Christmas trees. And then I was on my way home in the car and I was stopped at the lights of traffic at Clandeboy Road. I'm thinking, this is desperate. And I thought, if the pillars stop me, like I'm going to get done here for careless driving or something. The way I was. And I could see people looking and almost feeling sorry for me. And there I was at the top of the lights at the Clandeboy Road when I saw this massive lorry pulling into Star Plan Car Park. and about to offload hundreds, absolutely hundreds, of Christmas trees. And I sat there at those lights and I thought to myself, I think I'm turning into an old person. Do you ever notice how old people say Christmas seems to be getting earlier every year? Or wasn't like that in my day? And I thought, I'm seriously turning into an old person. And one of my foster sons, who was also disabled and crippled, who was with me, he asked, when are you putting your tree up? To which I responded, in the Christmas spirit, same time as last year, and all the years before that, never, never going to happen. However, at this time of the year, if I have a new boy who has come in during the year, wasn't with us the Christmas before, myself and the other boys in the house, we would just generate a conversation around, well, I think we're going to have to maybe move the sofa over there, and that shelf's going to have to come out, and we'll maybe just put it underneath the stairs, and we'll move all of these things around. And then they'll say, what's happening? And the boys say, oh, for the Christmas tree. Christmas trees. And so we've got a new one at the minute. Walked right into it, right into the trap, and you want to see the glow in his face when he thought of the furniture being moved and this great, and the boys were saying, well, I don't think you're going to have to cut the top and all off, because it's not going to fit in, it's going to hit the ceiling and all, and what are we going to do? And I said, well, we'll just cut the top off, never worry, you know. And you could see the excitement on the young one's face. He's only 13. At the prospect. And then what's going to happen is, one day, somewhere in December, when he gets home from school, to his absolute horror, there is a foot high twig that sits with blue flashing lights, and they don't all work, on top of the CD stand, stuck with a big piece of blue tack, and along the fireplace, almost reaching across the entire wall, is what I call my sectarian fairy lights, right? They're sectarian fairy lights because for 4 seconds they are red and blue, and then for the next 4 seconds they're green and orange. And when I bought them, you know, I didn't think they were sectarian, but I love them. And this is Christmas at Des Res, Lismore Avenue. But I don't know what it was this week that made me research again the origin of Christmas trees. It began, for those who don't know, the whole origin of Christmas trees, it began in Egypt and in ancient Rome, as evergreen trees always had a special meaning in winter. And they believed that if you had an evergreen tree either in your home or you hung boughs over your door or your windows, that they would ward off evil spirits and witches and illnesses over the winter period. And of course, all of this now was focused more later in life. It was focused around what we know as the winter solstice, around about the 21st or the 22nd of December. And in Europe, the Druids, I'm sure you've heard of the Druids. Well, the Druids, they were the priests of the ancient Celts. And they also decorated their temples with evergreen boughs as a symbol of everlasting life. Now, when you start to think about it, is it any wonder that I call it the pagan festival? Everybody else calls it Christmas. I call it the pagan festival. Christmas trees, as we now know them, stem from a Germanic paganism. And it has been said that even the Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, was duped into having one in his home. Anyway, as I was checking out Christmas trees, I came across another phenomenon. This was incredible. It's known as a Chrismon tree. Has anybody ever heard of that? No. I thought it was like moron type tree, you know. Chrismon, a Chrismon tree. It's an evergreen tree, and it's often placed in a church or in a Christian's home. And the evergreen tree symbolizes eternal life that Jesus Christ provides. Yeah, I can see how that works. However, the Chrismon tree differs from the Christmas tree in that the chrismon tree is only decorated with clear lights. So bang goes my sectarian lights. And chrismons, we things that are attached to it are called chrismons, and they're ancient symbols for Christ. So for example, a dove descending down, a fish, a Celtic cross, I can see that going down my house, Jerusalem cross, a shepherd's crook, a chalice, a shell, and a whole lot of other ancient symbols of Christ. I just can't see the attraction. I mean, who wants dead pigeons, haddock, a Celtic top hanging from their tree in their living room? But just as the church foolishly, hijacked remnants of the pagan winter solstice festival, so they also sought to Christianize paganism with chrismon. Do you ever hear the likes of it? That gets class like. Genesis chapter 3, reading from verse 9 to 15. Genesis chapter 3, reading from verse 9 to 15. Very, very well known passage. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." In the Christmas in a Nutshell video, which delivers the simple message, God showed up, it gets across a very, very important point. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 9. These are famous passages that are read over Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God showed up. Hopefully from the video we'll begin to understand, if Christmas has any message of value, it's about this. God showed up in our world to rescue us. By the deceitful ploys of Satan, God's enemy, man was duped into rebellion against God, and the Bible calls that sin, resulting in a sentence of death and eternal separation from God. God would have been perfectly just to leave mankind to wallow in his sinfulness and to perish in hell. But he loved mankind too much to forsake us. God had a plan. One would come to deliver, to rescue, to save his people. Do you remember from the Garden of Eden, from when the fruit was eaten, God spoke, "One will come, One will come who will crush Satan's head. God had a plan. One would come to deliver, to rescue, to save his people. But he didn't take the world by surprise. He didn't just show up unexpected. God foretold his arrival for many years before it happened. From the Garden of Eden, where in December Adam and Eve were decorating the Christmas trees. I'm only joking. God foretold one would come into the world to crush Satan's head, to destroy his works and set his people free from slavery to sin and death. And down the generations, from Moses to King David and through all of his other prophets, God repeatedly sought to bring hope to those who hoped in him. Do you hear that? God repeatedly sought to bring hope to those who hoped in him. He continually foretold one was going to show up to deliver, to rescue, to save his people from their sins and bring them back into a right relationship with him. Well, let me tell you something tonight. You may not be surprised to find this out, but Satan, and I'm not going to give any credence to him tonight, but Satan isn't completely stupid. He was the top angel in heaven. He knew a thing or two about God and about the ways of God. If God was going to do something, if God said something was going to happen, then Satan knew it was going to happen. But this is where the bit of stupidity comes in. Because even though he knew a thing or two about God, yet he set about trying to prevent it. Satan knew that God chose the descendants of Abraham through his son Isaac to be the people from whom his deliverer, his savior, would come. Satan did everything in his power, and yet he was on a leash. Satan did everything he could to try to stop this. He tried to kill the family of Jacob, also known as Israel. He tried to get the Egyptians to wipe Israel out, but God sent Moses to intervene and to bring them out of captivity. Satan tried various ways to wipe out those through whom the Savior would come. And among many other wicked and murderous schemes, Satan stirred up a king called Saul to try to kill a shepherd boy called David, who would become king of Israel. And God had told David, "The one to come will be from your lineage. The one to come will be from your lineage." As if Satan could wipe out David, that was going to make it pretty difficult. But God had a plan. God had told David, this is the way it's going to be. 250 years later, and Isaiah the prophet was used by God to remind his people that he hadn't forgotten them. Listen, sometimes you think, God hasn't heard my prayers this week. God hasn't heard my prayers for the past month. 250 years later, God was using his prophet Isaiah to remind his people that he hadn't forgotten them, and the one to come was still to be expected. When Isaiah told forth what God had declared, his message was more precise. Wonderful will be the name of the one who is to come. The one to come would be a son and a ruler. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. There's the clue. Who was coming into the world? Who was coming into our sinful, dark, cursed neighborhood? The one to come is called Wonderful. The one to come is called Counselor. The one to come is Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This one to come would have an everlasting kingdom. The people of Israel were not to lose heart while waiting, because God had promised this, and he would make sure that it would come to pass. During all of this time, the Israelites decorated their homes with Christmas trees every 25th of December. They didn't really. But here, the church can tell lies about one pagan festival, why not tell more? They didn't do that. They believed what God said. They didn't need to come up with hijacking the things of the nations around them to hold on to the promises of God. They just held on. Those who hoped in God believed that God would fulfill his promise. And to those who feared God, to those who worshipped him and walked in his ways, these words once again inspired hope and confident expectation. Let me just stop for a moment and ask you this. When God's word tells you that baby Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, that baby Jesus that grew up and ministered for 3 years under the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus who was crucified and died, that Jesus who was laid into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, that Jesus who on the third day rose again from the dead, that same Jesus who ascended back up into heaven and passed through the heavens, sat down at God the Father's right hand, that Jesus who has the Christians' names inscribed on their hearts, that Jesus, the Word of God says, will return again. Do you have the confident expectation that that is going to happen? Do you have that hope of God in your heart? Do you have the promise that God will fulfill his word to you? To those who feared God, who worshipped him and walked in his ways, these words once again inspired hope and confident expectation. And to those who had no interest in God and who did not obey him, well, these words were empty and meaningless. If I were to say to you tonight here in this hall, or if I were to say to you tonight watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast, Jesus is coming back again. And when Jesus comes back again, he is going to destroy forever all who do not belong to him. Do these words to you just sound empty and meaningless? Let me make this clear for you tonight. If those words sound empty and meaningless, it's because you are already perishing. You are already perishing. God declared one was coming to deliver, to rescue, to save his people from their sin and bring them back into a right relationship with him. The message of Christmas isn't about Christmas trees or Christmon trees decorating our town centres and our churches or our homes. It's not about fairy lights and tinsel or dead pigeons and haddock and Celtic tops. The message of Christmas is about how God showed up, coming into the world to crush Satan's head, to destroy his works, and to free his people from slavery to sin and to death. The message of Christmas is about how God showed up to deliver, to rescue, to save his people from their sins, and to bring them back into a right relationship with him. You see, the church doesn't need to hijack pagan festivals. And while I'm a leader, and they'll probably vote me out next week for that, while I'm a leader in Shiloh Christian Fellowship, I will always oppose putting up pagan festivals and pagan symbols in the church, particularly Christmas trees. The church doesn't need to hijack pagan festivals or embrace paganism, nor does it need to adopt worldly superstitions just to get us through the winter. We really have something wonderful to celebrate on Christmas Day and every other day of the year. What is it? God showed up. God kept his promise to rescue and to save those whom he loves. And the same God is going to show up again and take his people to be forever with him. So Christian, let me say this tonight, and all joking aside, it's not my place to tell you or to tell anyone else what decorations you can or cannot have. You can decorate your house whatever way you like. I see some headbins that decorate their houses with all these mad stuff outside. I would hate to have their electric bill. And that's their choice. If they want to celebrate whatever way they want to celebrate, that's their business. It's not my place to say what people can or cannot do. Neither is it my place to judge or condemn anyone for how you celebrate Christmas or not. However, it is my place to remind all who know and love Jesus that he is God who showed up to save us. And as we head towards Christmas, may our hearts rejoice with singing like the choir in heaven that sang glory to God in the highest. Why? Because he showed up to rescue his people. Christian, this is something we should be celebrating every day of the year. And when you know Jesus, you've got something to celebrate and something to sing about. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you're not yet a Christian, you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does Christmas mean to you? Does Jesus have any place in your heart or any part in your celebrations? I thought Denise sent me a thing during the week and saying Tear Fund have a brilliant strap line this year. It's something like love, joy, and peace at Christmas. But they put a big X through the Mass. How incredible is that? So it's through the Mass part, and it's love, joy, and peace through Christ. And that's what it's all about. So, unbeliever, does Jesus have any place in your heart or any part in your celebrations this Christmas? Jesus loves you and showed up to rescue you from Satan, sin, and death. Will you surrender your heart? Will you give your life to Jesus and let him make Christmas a true celebration for you? The true meaning of Christmas isn't about turkey and tinsel, Christmas trees or Christmons. It's about the love of God for you, sending his son to die so that you might live forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday of December, as we head towards the Christmas celebrations, thank you for those of us who know and love you, that we can go up to the 25th of December. Lord God, we're not stupid enough to think that Jesus was born then, but we can celebrate the truth. God showed up, you kept your promise, and you came in the form of Jesus, your beloved son, to die that we might live. And thank you for those who know you and love you. We have life forevermore. And Lord, I'm not saying people can't put up decorations and can't enjoy their Christmas in the way that they want. But Lord, let us remember the true meaning. God is faithful. He keeps his promises. And just as you showed up many years ago in Bethlehem, so you will show up again soon to gather your people unto yourself. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are eternally secure in your love. We pray for anyone tonight, Lord God, who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe, Lord God, they're under pressure for Christmas, Lord God, with the demands that Christmas now lays upon people. And they're just wondering what it's all about. Lord, will you remind them it's about you? It's about you keeping your promises. Your promise spoken way back in the Garden of Eden, that one would come who would crush Satan's head. The clues, Lord God, throughout your word that you give us, that his name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Clue after clue after clue. Lord, may people tonight recognize that it all points to Jesus, your beloved Son. And may, Lord God, we all bow the knee and accept him into our hearts as our Lord and King, that we will have true meaning and true purpose this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.